On today's show, the Cleveland Cavaliers ended 2022 with a win in Chicago. We'll discuss that win, discuss the 2020 year in Cavs basketball, all on this episode of Locked On Cavs.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way in is from our friends at Astorado. Check them out on Apple Music or Spotify. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com. The promo code is LOCKEDON. I'm Chris Manning. I cover the Cavs and the NBA for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. That man over there is Evan Damerel, the proprietor of One Right Down Euclid. Evan, happy new year. Happy 2023. Let's talk about the last Cavs game of 2022, though, before we look ahead. We look back at the year in full, and we'll obviously have a recap up of Cavs Bulls round two, which is the Cavs' first game of 2023. That takes place Monday night in Cleveland. But Evan, what stood out to you from this Cavs game where they escape with a one-point win?
Well, first off, it's great to hear from you, Chris. It's been a year since we last really spoke voice to voice, face to face, camera to camera like this. Just got to milk that joke for every inch it's worth. But what stood out for me was just the fact that the Cavs, this was an ugly game for Cleveland. Like there were points where they were really beating the Bulls quite handily. I think in the second quarter, especially when they won that 32-25. But I think more than anything, the Cavs were very reliant on their core identity, which is defense. And that's kind of what carried them through this game against Chicago. I mean, obviously not having Evan Mobley and Darius Garland makes this a little tough if you're Cleveland, but you're able to get solid performances from Caris LeVert, Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Love, and it turns out Caris LeVert did foul either DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine on the last possession.
Yeah,
I watched the game at like 2.5 speed to catch up a little bit, and I broke down some of the key plays that way. But this is a not very good Chicago Bulls team, I'd say. Like, they're just on paper probably are better than they seem, but functionally they just don't get along right now. And I think if you're Cleveland, you're down a couple key guys. You had lost a couple games in a row at this point. You had a pretty sour taste in your mouth. This is a good way to go in. Win on the road, which is even more impressive because Cleveland just isn't a very good road team. They still have a losing road record. But it's an interesting kind of just matchup in general. Like, the Cavs did a lot of right things. They did a lot to make Chicago uncomfortable. They did it without Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. And now more than anything, I'm interested to see what Cleveland does on Monday night when they host Chicago again. It's like, it's a weird home and home series, so it's fun to kind of see how this will unfold.
Yeah, look, this was very much just like I think you're happy to get out of this one with a win. Like, I don't think it's anything deeper than that. I think this was a game where you're like, look, you don't have Darius Garland, who's out with the thumb sprain. Donovan Mitchell is 5 of 6 from 3. Yeah, did not play a particularly good game, right? Like, this wasn't like a good Donovan Mitchell game. And like, you don't have Evan Mobley. So like, you're just not at your best. You're not at full strength. You're on the road. You're amid this kind of losing streak you've been on. You're kind of your first losing streak of the year. So you're kind of just dealing with a bunch of stuff. And like, this would be one of those games where it's like, if the Cavs lose it, you could be like, oh, okay, like, that's fine. Like, I get it. It happened. It's a weird one. You don't have your second best player, one of your most important ball handlers. Like, you just don't. And like, that puts you in a really, really tricky position. And they got it done. And like, I think a couple guys deserve shout out for that. I think, you know, Robin Lopez, which is like a weird place to start, but I thought had like a pretty good game in his minutes off the bench as a rim protector. I thought Caris LeVert played one of his better games of late, which was good. They needed that. Like, if Mitchell's going to go 5 of 16 and you don't have Garland, like, you kind of need LeVert to step in and do some of that stuff. I thought, you know, Kevin Love, 5 of 11 from 3. That's a big deal. That gave you some juice. Sick. He had a good game. And look, and you had a really good Isaac Okoro game. Like, he was pretty good in this game. So like, you, all of that, you get a win. Like, I don't know how you can, like, you can't repeat. I feel like a lot of what you saw in that game, that felt like a game where you're just kind of scrapping through and trying to get a dub, and you'll see what happens on Monday, because Garland is doubtful, Mobley is questionable, per the latest injury report, so we'll see what that looks like. But it's a game, I think, you survived the bad Mitchell lane, you got a win, And if you're trying to maximize the season and have the best seeding possible, you kind of need to just get lucky a little bit with games like that sometimes.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was Chicago kind of falling apart. I think the Bulls going 7 of 21 from three-point range. The Cavs did hit some good pressure points to make Chicago a little bit uncomfortable. But again, it got ugly in the final quarter, especially if the Cavs just kind of were just playing putrid offense to close the game. But they did just enough, like you said, to kind of come into a hostile environment, win when you're down a couple key players and you're still able to do it. And it was more of a team effort at this point, like you said. Like Donovan Mitchell was not at his best. Like, I think this is one of the more subpar Donovan Mitchell games, which you get, like, you shouted out everyone. Like, Lamar Stevens only had 2 points. Jared Allen only had 6 points. Like, you're not getting a lot from, like, your two key stars and one of your other starters. So, J.B. Bickerstaff went deep into his bench. I mean, technically, Mamadou Diakite only played about 3 minutes, so you can mention him, but he didn't play a ton. But the J.B. went deep into his bench. He kind of found the right lineups and positions to kind of make things work. Kevin Love, if he didn't turn back the clock and kind of just become a bit of a flamethrower from three-point range, because he was Cleveland's best three-point shooter that night, or at least, I guess, in terms of volume, at least, he was the best three-point shooter. But this is a good game for the Cavs at the end of the day. Like, it's not perfect. They know how to win ugly. This is something that they did a lot last season. This is something they've already done a couple times this season. And this is just another example of it where you probably don't feel great about yourself, just all things considered. But like you said, these are maybe those small victories where it's late December, early January, and you're winning these kind of games that could have an impact come playoff seeding time, because it's definitely crowded, I'd say, 3 through 6 in the Eastern Conference, and even 1 and 2 if the Cavs are able to sniff in that range. But like, it's going to be a crowded race, and every game does matter.
Well, that's a good to agree, because I think this is the top five. I think there are 5 teams in the East that are really competing for these. I'll throw up the standings as we have them on Sunday night. Boston is first. They're 2 games up on the Nets, who the Cavs obviously just saw. And the Cavs are ahead of them at that point. The Bucks are 3rd. The Cavs are 4th. The Sixers are 5th. The Cavs are currently a game up on Philly. And to get into Indiana, Miami, the Knicks, the Hawks, the Bulls, who the Cavs just beat, Toronto, like, who is currently out of the playoffs altogether.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs are 0-3 against them. I'm sure sometimes styles make matchups and things. I think this is a top 5 teams. I don't really think the Pacers are going to ultimately hang with those 5, but I think, if you're Cleveland, this is just one of those things where you're going to have to compete against some really, really good teams to maybe get into the top 3. Because, like, let's up again. Season ends today. The Cavs are getting Philly in round 1. Now, I would say that's the team of those top 5 teams that I would want to play. I would not really want to get Brooklyn the way KD's playing right now. Good Lord, no. He is playing insane. Boston's really good. The Bucks, despite some warts, like, yeah, they have Giannis. Like, I don't know if I want that, like, right off the bat, or like, I mean, like, after you get it round 1, it is what it is. But like, round 1, like, Philly would be the team of those that if I had to face one of them, I'd want to probably get Philly. And like, you're gonna have to just kind of scratch and claw your way to kind of maintain your seeding, half home court in that potential matchup, half home court in the first round.
Yeah.
And look, you just 82 game seasons are weird. You just are. You gotta get lucky. They should just like take this one and like celebrate. Hopefully they had a good time in Chicago celebrating New Year's Eve after they got that dub.
Say there's worse places to be on New Year's Eve in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I agree. Like, Indiana, I think, will fall off. Miami's just a weird spot. New York is playing well, so I think they'll be in like the playing thick of things. Atlanta is pretty disappointing, and they're kind of like a tire. They're just a tire fire and just fun to observe. Ditto for Chicago. Toronto's an odd team too. Washington, I don't know what they're trying to do either, and it just kind of trickles down from there to the Magic, Hornets, and Pistons. But yeah, Cleveland's kind of staked their claim that they are at least a top 5 team, both record-wise and just across the board in the Eastern Conference. I think the Nets just kind of having this insane resurgence. Boston and Milwaukee just kind of being the two consistent threats at the top. Like, I'm not surprised that those 3 teams are ahead of Cleveland. I think the Nets certainly have the talent and the offseason moves they made, and Jacques Vaughn being just like the right answer for them at head coach right now is just kind of working for them. So we'll see what happens long term with Brooklyn. But Cleveland being the thick of things is not surprising at all. And yeah, like you said, they just got to kind of celebrate the small victory when they can. And it at least keeps them a game separated from Philly right now, which is kind of key, because you want to maybe try to have home court at least in the first round if it started today.
Yes. All right. That'll be it for segment 1. Again, the Cavs beat the Bulls, get a last win of 2022 in Chicago, play the Bulls again Monday night. We'll recap it here on the Locked On Cavs podcast. But first, we're going to go on a break, come back. We're going to look back at 2022 and the things that defined the Cavs organization, Cavs basketball, in the last calendar year. But first, Evan, you've got an ad read for us.
Folks, today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Prize Picks. And I don't know if you know this, but sports betting is now legal in Ohio, and Prize Picks isn't there yet, but they will be probably soon. And to play Prize Picks, you pick 2 to 5 players, and if they go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport you watch. That includes the NBA, the NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Eurobasket, cricket, and so much more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, and they even offer safe and fast withdrawals. Like I said, Prize Picks isn't available in Ohio quite yet, but it's currently operational in over 30 states as well as Canada. If you want to check it out, download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That means if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100 back. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign-up for an instant deposit today and a match up to $100. Again, that's Prize Picks. Check out the app or at prizepicks.com.
All right, back here on Locked On Cavs, Chris Manning, Evan Damrell. Evan, so let's look back. 2022. I say 2022.
What a year.
What a year indeed. When you look back at 2022 from a Cavs perspective, what do you think are what's like a defining thing for you? What's like a big moment? I think there's some obvious places to go, but where does your brain first go?
Well, I think more than anything, we're 2022, or this Cavs team is very hot at the beginning of 2022. They're riding off a very solid wave, and they had two representatives in the All-Star game and three guys at All-Star weekend in general, and then their fourth All-Star teammate playing for the Jazz at the time, Donovan Mitchell. So I think that was just kind of like the statement for Cleveland. Like, there was a little bit of an onus heading into this season. Even J.B. Bickerstaff admitted this season that, like, no one expected them to be good last season, and the Cavs were good, and they had guys representing them at All-Star. And like, it's like a little bit of a statement saying like, hey, we are a team who has finally built out of the shadow of LeBron James, which is not an enviable task whatsoever, but they're doing it their way. They kind of built it organically through the draft and through some opportunistic trades, like getting Jared Allen and eventually Donovan Mitchell. And like, that was like kind of the linchpin of just what we're looking at right now towards the end of 2022 and now heading into 2023 is like, this is a legitimate Eastern Conference contender that kind of was built naturally and a little bit organically, and they're kind of primed to become a team that runs the Eastern Conference when they kind of grow up a little bit and some other teams age out.
Yeah, I start with two things. I go to two things that I think are very linked. Number one, I think you start with the fact that last year, the end of the 2021-22 season is just like a smashing success. It just is. It sets the tone for everything that has come. It raises expectations. It raises the profile of all of these players. It raises what we're expecting out of Garland and Mobley and Allen. And like, it opens the door for Mitchell. I would like, there's an alternate reality, Evan, where like, I think you look back at the end of the last season and going into the summer of 2022, when the Cavs make this big move and they throw their chips in and they escalate things further, right? Like, they choose to do that. I wonder if they're like, finish like 11th last year, or if they finish 10th and it's just like a little different. Like, obviously they don't make the real playoffs last year, right? They lose in the play-in. But if things just go a little differently,
Caris LeVert.
Yeah, right. There are things that happen. I wonder like if the Mitchell thing is like, I know it says these things don't work exactly this way, but like, they build into each other, right? Like, last year builds into this year. Last year builds into the Mitchell trade. Last year builds into what 2022 became. And that's a year where Cavs basketball feels like it matters more in like a statement, in a stature standpoint, than it has without LeBron James in like 27 years. Mm-hmm. That is where this franchise is at now. Like, and we'll see how long this era lasts. We'll see how long this goes. We'll see if 2022, what 2022 leads you to from a 2023 perspective, what they can accomplish, what they can do. But to me, like, this is the year of escalation. This is the year where things got big, things got exciting, things got interesting in all the fun ways that you want if you're a basketball fan, if you're someone like, if you're like us covering this team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, the Cavs just kind of caught lightning in a bottle. Like, I really do think about a lot about how Kevin Love kind of looks at it from 30,000 feet above and just says, like, I wish I could capture this feeling in a bottle so we can always have it. Like, it's like Space Jam with Michael's secret stuff, which turns out it's just regular water. But either way, like, this Cavs team, a lot of things just clicked. I think a lot of credit does have to go to obtaining Evan Mobley and just the defensive impact he immediately had as a rookie, and just how he and Jared Allen kind of just clicked really well together on that side of the ball. And I think a lot of it also has to go to Darius Garland just being like a nuclear level threat last season, and just kind of like the Cavs just laid a such a rock solid foundation after there's just a lot of uncertainty about this team heading. And like, folks, if you're a regular listener, you'll know Chris and I were pretty down on this team. We had Ben Axelrod on to talk about over-unders for teams, and we all took the under on the Cavs last season. And this year, like, it's a completely different story because, like Chris said, like, they set the foundation, set things in motion, build the profile of this team, and just kind of made them interesting and fun. And it's kind of exciting to just cover this team from afar and just like watch them on a night to night and a game to game basis, because it's just wild to think, because like you said, Chris, they could have finished 11th in the East. They could have finished in the bottom of the Eastern Conference last year too. Like, who knows what this Cavs team could have in a different time.
The Knicks could have just traded for Donovan Mitchell.
Exactly. I mean, Donovan Mitchell more or less said during his introductory press conference in Cleveland, he didn't fully expect to be in Cleveland during the offseason. He expected to go to the Knicks, like many of us in the crowd who were at that press conference expected as well. So it's interesting to think, like, there's even like weird timelines too, where like maybe the Cavs go get DeJounte Murray instead of Donovan Mitchell. Maybe they go, golly, maybe there is just a different player who becomes suddenly available and the Cavs go after them instead, or they don't cash in their chips and we're watching a team that features Garland, Sexton, Abaji, Markkanen, Mobley, Allen is just kind of like your core pieces, along with Okoro and, I mean, Osman to an extent too. But there's a lot of different ways this could have gone, a lot of different threads, and it's cool at least because just from a coverage aspect that it's the more or less chaotic one in the grand scheme of things. But the Cavs grew up in real time. They proved, and I think made a statement just like sending guys to All-Star and like saying like, listen, Cleveland isn't an afterthought just because LeBron is gone. Like, we're here, we're hungry, and we're ready to kind of show, like, hey, we're more than just one guy who really is pretty much the entire legacy of this organization, at least in modern history.
Yeah. All right. We're going to come back one more break. We'll dive into a little more 2022, and we're going to go look at the big moment of the year, which is, and to me, at least my big moment of the year, is the Donovan Mitchell trade. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all of the fat and calories, and you got to try a Built Bar.
You know,
look, we just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me, where you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to...
I agree. Go ahead.
But you don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't want it. You won't think they're good for you, but they are. Perfect for a New Year's resolution. Well, what makes Built Bar so good, you ask? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years on the show, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. You can still do that. But now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk up to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4 box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with 2 hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. Thank us later. All right, back here on Locked On Cavs, Chris Manning, Evan Damerl. So, Evan, the big moment of the year, I think, has to be the Donovan Mitchell trade. I understand there are these big games with Mitchell, with Garland. We've had some like incredible performances in regards to this season so far. And like last year obviously had like a ton of big moments toward after the calendar year turn. You can go back and think of some of these big performances, look through the box scores, all that stuff. I just there's nothing that I think tilted and explains the last year to me more than the Cavs, like seeing the Woj bomb come through, seeing the Cavs got Donovan Mitchell, talking about it with Martin Rickman on this show,
mm-hmm.
and just the magnitude of that. Like, yes, it ultimately, like, the story of that is still fully to be written. We're still kind of seeing where this goes. But it is still, like, that is the moment of 2022. It is the Cavs getting Donovan Mitchell and everything, and, like, him arriving in Cleveland on the plane for the first time and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and more than anything, I think it's just how quickly and how seamless the fit was, too. Like, yeah, it definitely made a statement for Cleveland. Like, they went and got Donovan Mitchell. Like, they're clearly showing that they aren't messing around. They're ready to compete now in the Eastern Conference, maybe ride the waves of Evan Mobley's rookie scale contract a little bit and Jared Allen's more team-friendly extension before the CBA jump, or rather the salary cap jump. But it more than anything, like, you see how seamless this fit is almost right away. And unfortunately, you see Darius Garland go down with the eye injury early into this season. And you see kind of Mitchell just become hotter than grease out there, where he's just absolutely annihilating people and just, like, really clicked in and fine-tuned with, like, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And, like, the fact that he's just kind of integrated so well and also had such a nice two-way impact for this Cavs team is, we talk about this a lot. We talk about friends of this in the media room, and we talk about this with just anyone who really wants to talk to us about it. Like, I'm pleasantly surprised that the Cavs just feel a little ahead of schedule right now in terms of just making Mitchell fit, because I had reservations, at least, because, like, Mitchell is a proven scorer. He's a proven playoff threat. Like, he is going to carry the Cavs in some situations. We've seen it plenty this season. We're going to see it plenty more as the season goes on. But more than anything, like, I had a little bit of reservations just because towards the end of last season, you saw the Cavs play tight. You saw them play scared. You saw them play worried, and, like, they're in their heads a little bit. And you saw it really come to a head when they played the Nets in the play-in, and then especially against the Hawks, where they're up, and then kind of watch Atlanta whittle away the lead and watch the Hawks go into the Eastern Conference playoffs and sent the Cavs home. So it's just a pleasant surprise, because I thought there's going to be more growing pains, that there's going to be more issues. I think there's a lot of, like, just frustrating losses in between for this Cavs team, but it's kind of been a seamless fit. And hey, maybe their culture is just solid enough that they're strong enough that they can't fail, and they can kind of bring in, like, a big wave like this that doesn't rock the boat in really much in the slightest.
When you think about where the Cavs are at now, mm-hmm. and you think about how far they came this year, I think for me, it's like, I think the thing that I still have to remind myself is that this has come, I think, a lot faster than I would have imagined it was going to. Last year came faster than we thought. I think this year is obviously, like, the Mitchell trade escalated things. I still feel like I am figuring out, like, I'm still figuring out, like, where to adjust my ceiling to some degree with this group.
Yeah, it's still a feeling out process. Like, we talked in the first segment, the Cavs are in a good spot. Like, they're in the thick of things between Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Boston. And, like, you've seen them beat the Celtics. You see them kind of lose to the Bucks, and then they get that monkey off their back a little bit at home against Milwaukee. They've handled Philly a little bit in the preseason, but, like, I need to see some, like, meat and potatoes games between these two, like, with Harden and Embiid fully healthy. But, like, Brooklyn boat raced them the other night, so we'll see how this goes. Obviously, I wonder how different it will become playoff time, or how different things maybe look if the Cavs are facing the risk of the play-in tournament again. We need to see how they handle tight situations. Like, they've come through in the clutch, and, like, I've asked JB this several times, and one, he doesn't think they've played a complete game yet. He hasn't been satisfied with a lot of the defensive effort, but more than anything, I'm like, do you see a little bit of the growth and maturity where, like, last season the Cavs would have tightened up a little bit and maybe gotten their heads and kind of just, like, let the game kind of get past them and kind of become prisoners in the moment, where just now, like, you're seeing them kind of handle some adversity, obviously, but more than anything, just, like, grow. But I don't know what the final form clearly is, or just what this season is going to end up being for them. But I think playoffs for sure. I just don't know how far they'll go. It obviously depends on matchups and everything else, but this could be a dramatic, I mean, by the time this episode posts, we will be 1 month and 1 week away from the NBA trade deadline. It's also my birthday, so happy birthday to me. But the Cavs could kind of alter things a little bit too. Like, they still are a bit of a flawed team at the end of the day, and they have some issues they need to address still. So I don't know how to fully evaluate them quite yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't even mean in that sense. I mean, like, what is, like, the final form? I'm not even thinking about, like, the entirety of
I can't tell you this.
That's what I mean. And it's like, I think, like, I had a rougher idea, and then last year changed it, and then I think Mobley changed it, and I think Garland's ascension changed it, and I think this year's changed it again. And, like, on the trade note, like, we did see Zach Lowe in his column of Friday report, the Cavs are going to look for a short-term option at the wing. That's kind of an interesting flex. from Cleveland, just in sense of like, flex is the wrong word. I don't know where my brain's at, but them being like short-term option, maybe there's something else. I think it's clear they kind of need that. And I think that will be one of the big stories of 2023 is like, what do they find for in terms of wing options and shooting and that kind of stretch. But Evan, let's wrap this up on a 20, mm-hmm. just a couple of small 2022 things. Just, do you have like any other like random Cavs storyline of the last year that is stuck in your head for whatever reason, or a moment that was stuck in your head from the last year?
Well, last season's City Edition jerseys are the best ones the Cavs have had by and far. Like, better than the Wave ones, better than the Gray LeBron ones, better than the Frankenstein mishmash ones they had last year. And I'm not a fan of this year's ones. Like, I like the court, but I don't like the aesthetic overall, the Metro Parks theme. But that's one storyline for which is the fashionista side of me. But I think just the fun storyline is just like Darius Garland had like such a massive coming out party last year, and he was fully rewarded for it by signing the wealthiest contract in franchise history, which you have to understand, like, LeBron kind of structured and planned things like that intentionally to kind of like keep the Cavs feet to the fire a little bit in terms of being aggressive. But just the fact that the Cavs just had zero reservations, zero hesitation after the song and dance they did with Colin Sexton for two summers. Like, they're just like, nope, we're going to sign Darius right away, just like they did with Jared the summer before that, because they have a clear idea of who these core guys are going to be, and they anointed Darius Garland their franchise point guard, and I think he's more than earned that reputation, especially after, like, I was uncertain what he was going to be when he came out of Vanderbilt as a rookie, and kind of after, like, two kind of up and down, somewhat mediocre at times rookie and sophomore seasons.
I think a couple things. Number one, I think the Kevin Love thing still just remains like an astounding, like, that's like, yeah, a 2020. Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot about that too. Just like the league perception of Kevin Love is like, he's done. I thought he was dead in the water.
Yeah, that whole thing has been, I think, a big deal. I think we'll look back at the first like acquisition they made in 2022, the LeVert train, and we'll see how that ages. But I think that's like a tricky thing.
Well, they get Caris LeVert for Ricky Rubio in a first round pick. They keep the first round pick, which becomes Ochai Agbaji. They bring back Ricky Rubio and somehow get Donovan Mitchell. So I think if you're Cleveland,
You're still just like losing your first for, you know, somebody. Well, so like, I still will look back at that and kind of wonder, like, what is that? Was that trade like really like the best use of that asset in that moment, like, and that's hindsight and stuff, but that's just like such an interesting like little thing that did happen in 2022. Like, that was the trade they mm-hmm. didn't nail, and they nailed the Mitchell trade, I think. I think All-Star 2022 was like just like a really cool moment as well, just like the energy in the city, those three guys, just this NBA 75, like, that was such like a cool moment for Cleveland basketball. So I think that is on there as well.
Including Magic Johnson petting Steph Curry's head.
Weird times. All right. That's going to be it for this episode of Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning. That's Evan Damrell. Thanks again for making us your first listen every day. This episode was produced by Jake Stevens. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. That's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.